So have you ever considered the ant? The little tiny insect that crawls around that people think are annoying and pesky and invasive and gross, and you always try to kill them at every opportunity because we don't want them in our food. We don't want them eating our stuff, right? But have you stopped and thought about the attributes of the ant and the behaviors of the ant? Well, did you know that the Bible tells us that we should? The Bible tells us that we should consider the ant. Please open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. I'll be reading all of my verses here in my lesson out of the New King James Version. So in case your Bible says just a little word differently. But Proverbs chapter 6, 6 through 11. We begin here reading, saying, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." Now, we read here in this passage about the folly of indolence, or indolence is also known as slothful or lazy, and how we are not to be this lazy or slothful or indolent. But also, one quick fact here, and it only just further proves how much God knows. That back then, in this time when Proverbs was written, they didn't have the microscopes that we have today, and they didn't have the testing equipment. However, in verse 6 we read here, "Consider her ways." When I was doing research, ants are separated into separate categories. You have a worker ant, which is the smallest and the one that does most of the carrying. And you have the warrior, which is the largest. And you have the queen, which is the mother of all of these ants in the colony. And all of those are female. Every one of those ants is a female. And the only males in an ant colony are the flying ones that reproduce with the princesses, as they're called, and the princes are males, to make a queen. But every other ant in that colony is a girl or a female, which is just an interesting little fact that we can consider when we can think of the greatness of God. But we can take more here than just not to be lazy in Proverbs. And I'm pretty confident here that everyone has at least seen an ant or dealt with an ant, since there's an estimated 10 quadrillion ants on the planet, or that is 1,000 billion ants on the planet. Now that's a staggering number. And so that means I think everyone has seen an ant here. So we all know what we're talking about. And they are in every continent except for Antarctica. So everyone on the planet has seen it, or at least seen one. But in this time that we have today, I'd like to touch on some of these attributes that an ant can teach us and that we can take from an ant. And I won't be getting to all of them because there are many more that we can go into and I could do a month's worth of lessons on them. But in just today, let's take a couple of these. So the first attribute that I want to touch on here is that we can observe their persistence. They're very persistent. And if an ant wants to go somewhere or do something, they'll find a way. And they are very persistent to get there. You know, when we spray ant poisoning, they go around it. When we block it off, they dig under it. You know, they're very persistent. They'll get there. And even if you look on Natural History Channel or Discovery Channel, whatever, when an ant wants to move their colony, they will actually create a raft out of their own bodies and float downstream. And their ants will die in this venture. And when an ant dies, another one moves and takes its place so that the rest of the colony can safely make it to where it is. But let's go to the Bible again. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, Philippians 3, 12 through 14, we can read here about how we are to be persistent and pressing on. It starts in verse 12 saying, And this is Paul saying here, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Now this is Paul here in the Philippian letter, and he's saying how he presses toward the goal. He is pressing on. He is not a sluggard. He is not indolent. He continually pushes on. He is persistent to reach this goal that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. Also, we can read in Luke chapter 11, Luke 11, verses 5 through 10. We also read here how persistence is necessary for us. Luke 11, 5 through 10. Reading here, he says, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on this journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now it sounds to me like that's all attributes of persistence. If you're knocking on a door and someone doesn't come, but you have to talk to that person, you're not just going to walk away and be, oh, I tried. You're not going to do that. You're going to keep knocking until that person will answer, especially if you know that person's home. You're not going to sit back and idly do nothing while you must be persistent to attain your goal. And that is one attribute that we can take as a Christian and use in our goal to be with Christ in heaven as our ultimate salvation. But ants do these things to promote their colony, and they do so even to their own detriment. Like I was saying before, how they will make a raft out of their own bodies. They will die in this venture. It is not a painless venture, and it's not an easy one. But they will do this to promote their colony. But how much more should we do so to press on in our faith? When an ant has no hope of heaven, we do. And this is what we must do to press on and to spread the word of the Lord, so that others may also press on in this venture. But another of these attributes, moving on, is that we are to be prepared for anything and everything, playing a part for the whole. Well, ants have a special function for each member, as we talked about in the beginning of this lesson. Whether it is a warrior to protect and defend the colony, or it is a worker who collects the food and supplies and seeks out new areas of shelter or supplies, and the queen who reproduces and prolongs the life of the colony. So with all these roles being filled, they all play a part, and they are prepared to face whatever trials and troubles come their way. So we are to be similar in nature to these ants, and we are to be prepared for anything. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, I'd like to read here in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, saying, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil, or in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we can read here, we are to put on this armor of God. Now, it isn't physical armor. We're not walking around as Roman legionaries with all these heavy armor and metal. That's not the armor that he's talking about. But this is spiritual armor. Now, as the ants, they have their own preparations and their own duties. And they are the physical side. However, we are the ones that need to be prepared and put on that full armor of God spiritually, because that is our main enemy. Spiritual things. Yes, we have physical needs and we have physical enemies, but the one that really matters is spiritual. And so this whole armor of God is to prepare us for everything that may be thrown at us so that we might survive this fight and press on towards this goal. And also, ants have the roles that we were talking about, and so do we. In Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16, we read of some of these roles, and some of these roles have been done away with because of the necessity. However, there are other roles that we must fill. Let's read here in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ, so we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now we know throughout the scriptures that we no longer have prophets and we no longer have apostles, but we do have teachers and we do have evangelists, and those are necessary parts. Because not everyone is a great speaker. Not everyone is a great singer. Not everyone is a great teacher. However, we work together as the body of Christ to promote Christ and to promote his word. And I'm not saying that everyone is a bad teacher or everyone is a good teacher. But we all have our strengths and we all have our weaknesses. And that is where we come together as a body of Christ to be prepared. Like the ants do. They all have their roles and they fulfill them. However, this is the spiritual role that we fill in the church of Christ, or in the church of Jesus Christ. So another aspect that we can move along and observe here, that ants are industrious and they're good workers. And thank you to Dylan for the songs. But they're good workers and who are not slothful, as we said in the beginning of this lesson, who are indolent or lazy. And going into more facts here of ants, as we are, ants have a lifespan between 120 days and 180 days. That's about their general lifespan. And now we're not talking about the queen here. We're simply talking about the regular ant. The queen has about a lifespan of 30 years, 20 to 30 years, depending on if she survives a fight. But the regular ant has that many days. And from the day that they are able to walk, which is usually one day after their birth, they're working in the colony. They are not waiting around, oh, I'm going to spend a couple days here watching some TV, and then maybe I'll get to work. And then maybe I'll retire, 30 days before I die. Ants aren't like that. Ants are working till the day they die, and they usually die in their work. As we know, we smush them and kill them, right? But that is what an ant does. He is not slothful, and he is not lazy in his work. And they are doing this up until the moment of their death. And also, due to their physical makeup and their muscle structure, which is much denser than ours, they can lift 50 times their own body weight, which would be like me lifting a car. over my head without any problems, which is insane. But, however, what does the Lord think of lazy people? That's what we want to know. So we read here in Matthew chapter 25, Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, kind of a lengthy reading, but it serves a purpose. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, and we'll read here about what God thinks of unprofitable and lazy servants. Starting here in 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Stop right there real quick. That sounds like work to me. That sounds like he's doing work. He's not being lazy. Let's go on. "And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also." That sounds like more work. He's making more money on top of what he was given, right? Okay. And go on. "But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money." Stop one more time. Now you may argue that digging is work, but this isn't what he's getting at here. So we can see this is the servant who is lazy. But let's go on and see what it says. Verse 19. "After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of our Lord.' He also had received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" Now here's the part where we're going to be looking at specifically here in these next couple of verses. "Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back with my own with interest. So take this talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" So we can see what happened to this lazy servant. God doesn't want us to be lazy. He wants us to be like the one who had 5 talents and who had 2 talents. And go and work and double our efforts and keep working. This is not a time where we are to be lazy and to stop working, but we are to be like the ant and work up until our point of death. Because after then we will receive our reward, whatever it may be, depending on how you lived your life. But that is when we are to stop working, when we die. And we must not be like this wicked servant and always to be working and promoting the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the final attribute that I'd like to discuss today is the ability to be of one mind. Now, ants, as people have discovered, have a sort of a hive mind. Now, if you don't know what a hive mind means that they all are thinking very similarly. And now, people have debated on whether ants have a free will of sorts, because the queen has most of control, if not all control. However, they're all working in the same mind towards the same goal. So that's what a hive mind will mean. And they even have documentation of colonies being so large that they stretched thousands of miles underground. I even looked up on a map, and they've mapped one of these super colonies, they call them, and it's under California right now. And it stretches all the way from Northern California close to the border of Mexico. That's how large this super colony is. However, we are to be in similar fashion, not exactly the same, and not controlled mindlessly, but of similar fashion, and on a higher level than not a carnal mindset, but a spiritual mindset. And we read here in Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 16. Romans 12, 14 through 16. It says here, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion." Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. This is close to the end of the book here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." Also, finally, we read here in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. Philippians 1, 27 through 30. We can see a close example here that is seen in an ant. Starting here, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me." So they are striving, as ants are, and we are, striving toward a goal. And now the ants' goal is the propitiation and the continuation of their colony. That's what ants live for. But our goal is to be with God in heaven. That is our ultimate goal. And that's the prize that we may gain if we are obedient. But that is the mindset that we are all going towards. We all want the same goal, and we want that for each other as well. But that is our mindset, and that we are to be of one mind, and not having divisions among us. If we had divisions among us, and think about if ants did, if ants had divisions among them, they'd be running around in a giant hole, no one knew what to do. Now think, just one example. If you've ever seen an ant line, I'm sure you've all seen an ant line, when they're going to get water or food or something. Now if you draw a line crossways in that line, what do the ants do? They go, pfft. They don't know what to do. Because their focus has been blurred. Their focus has been gone. So eventually, they come back into one line after they've regrouped. And that can be the same for us. If we have a problem that strays us from our goal, from our mindset, we can be the same as an ant. And we could have troubles. And we could even go off, as you see some ants go and you don't see them ever come back. That can be a possibility. But, as the ants do, they come back together in one line, and they go back towards that goal. They're persistent. They're not lazy. They want to go back in that line. They want to help their colony survive. All of these things are attributes that we can learn as Christians and use in our lives so that we may all strive towards that same goal as the ant does in a much shorter lifespan. However, it is the same in these attributes. And oftentimes we spend looking for answers throughout the world and throughout life. And, oh, what is this for? What is this like? But it's interesting that we can look at something so small as the ant, and we can glean so many of these attributes that an ant has. And now an ant doesn't have the same hope that we do. We have a hope of eternal life with God. An ant doesn't have that hope. Our hope is much greater. Why should we do anything less than what this ant, who has 180 days maximum to live, and all they do is go back and forth and eat, and back and forth and feed their colony? However, we have a much greater hope. We have a much greater goal that we are to achieve. And let us be more like these ants who are so small, yet can teach us so much. Let's take our time in our life to observe these things and to meditate on these things, that we may be better Christians and be better perfected like Christ. So as always, we extend the invitation. And if you would like to partake of this gift that God has given to us and commands us to be baptized to be part of the quote-unquote colony or body of the Lord, then the invitation is given to you this evening or afternoon. I always get that mixed up. But it is given to you, extended to you, that you may be baptized into Christ's blood and be renewed as a new person and as a new child of God. And that we may strive and be not lazy, be workful, to have good work, and not to be slothful. And that we may be persistent, and that we may, any of the other attributes that we can think of. And like I said, this is not all of them. I remember before, I think on a Wednesday night class, we named 40 or 50 attributes that an ant has. And that we didn't even think of all of them. We had to stop it short because we were saying too many. But that's one thing that we can think of. There's more than just this. And everything that we think of this ant, we can glean and take from. But this gift that God has given us is extended to you tonight. And also, if you are an erring child of God, and you've maybe had some trouble, but you'd like the prayers of the congregation that we may help you, then it's also extended to you as well as we stand and sing.